Welcome to the Sales Squared Podcast, your destination for leveling up in sales, marketing, and business development.
Dollar, dollar bill, y'all.
Join us to hear real entrepreneurs with real experiences, engaging with real experts from the world of sales, business, and entrepreneurship. And now for another Sales Squared Value Bomb.
Hello there.
Happy Wednesday.
And welcome to another episode of the Sales Squared Podcast. Today is all about buying styles. So me and Scott have been talking a lot about the sales cycle and, you know, obviously optimizing the sales cycle, optimizing your sales process and doing things in a way that is going to set you up for success. But one thing you can really never properly prepare for is who you're going to be dealing with on the other side of the phone or the meeting or the boardroom or wherever you are. So today we're basically going to talk all about different selling styles, how to adapt to different people. And one way that I really like to describe this is selling like a chameleon. So being able to adapt and adopt different styles of communication based on who you are speaking with. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit at the start about the sales cycle itself, Scott. So you've got a pretty good process for this, so let's hear it.
Mm-hmm. So if we just quickly rattle them off, I guess, just to give our listeners a little bit of background. So there's sort of seven approaches in the cycle. So we start with the pre-approach, which leads to the actual approach, the introduction, the actual presentation of what you're selling, answering those objections as they actually come up, and closing. So in a sort of traditional sales cycle, that's where most people would stop, probably 90%. But the actual beauty of a top producer or getting to that next level is asking for referrals based on the close. But let's just start super simple, right back at the pre-approach. So I guess, Cam, we've got so much experience in terms of marketing, being able to get the right people at the right time, mm-hmm. on the right medium, the right platform. So in terms of the pre-approach, before you even get on the phone to these people, why is it so important to get the right sort of avatar?
That's a really good question. So I think in general, you really want to get that avatar sorted in terms of who you're actually targeting. So put some thought not just into kind of the demographics of who it is that you want to go after. You know, let's say that you target C-suite decision makers in your city, in companies turning over 2 million plus, for example. So that's kind of the demographical aspect, but also think a little bit about the psychographical aspect. Mm. You know, what is this person's challenges? What's keeping them up at night? What are the things that they're looking to solve? And how can you pair that with your solutions and create a really, really compelling case in the lead generation phase to actually get them onto the phone, into a meeting, or however you sell, you know, into your store, whatever it may be. Think about that first and foremost, but then the one thing that you can't really ever know for sure until you meet somebody is their buying style.
Yeah.
So me and Scott have worked in the past with trainers who teach things like DISC, and I think DISC is a really good way to kind of sum up people's general communication style. It's quite compartmentalized.
It is.
If that makes sense. It's not 100%, you know, this person falls into this bucket, therefore that's the only way to deal with them. But it does provide a pretty good kind of reference and framework for people's general communication style. So basically you have four different types of communication styles. You have a D, which stands for dominance. Mm-hmm. You have an I, which stands for influential.
Yep.
You have a C, which I think stands for conscientious. I prefer to say calculator, because that's the kind of person who's quite detail-orientated, a numbers kind of person. And then you have an S for somebody who is, do you know what S is? Sensitive or...
I thought he was steady, something like
steady,
that.
Steady.
Could be steady.
Yeah, steady. So that's, people use different words for different... for different kind of styles, but they all kind of mean the same thing. So let's just run through them really quickly. So let's talk about the D's, the dominance. Mm-hmm. So in your experience, Scott, what is a dominant person? How do they communicate, and how do you deal with that kind of person?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think naturally we're D's ourselves. So when we're speaking with D's on the phone, from my experience personally, you know, they're very quick. They want to know what's happening now. They don't really want to dance around the detail.
Yeah.
Very, very results focused, very, very you know, forward and bold in their approach. And that can work really well for you as a salesperson. Mm. If you're in transactional businesses, for example, you're trying to make a transaction sale where, you know, you have a one call close, so to speak. That kind of fits in nicely there. But obviously, as the world is progressing to the solution selling and, you know, going off on that sort of tangent, you know, Ds are very, very interested in just the results, from my experience. Mm-hmm. So although they can be the very easy to close because time is of the essence, they can be very difficult as well when things don't quite go their way.
Definitely. In my experience, Ds are generally the people who you will be able to close the quickest because they're fast decision makers. But at the same time, they're quite impatient people. And if you try and beat around the bush too much when you're speaking with them, you're not going to resonate with them. You're not going to relate to them. So really, the way to kind of tell that you've got a D on your hands is if you get onto the call, you meet them face to face and they kind of want to get straight to the point. They want to talk business straight away. They may ask you questions from the get-go and try and kind of scope you out a little bit. They may ask you straight away for the kind of results that you've achieved in the past or what it is that you can actually do for them. So basically, you have to try and match that when you're talking with D. So you have to respect the fact that they don't have too much time for you. They want to get straight to the bottom line now. Mm-hmm. And really, that's what they need. They need to know upfront what you're selling, what the benefits are, what the risks are, what makes this product or service a good value for them. And they don't have much patience. Time is much more important to them than money. So they're looking to make a decision and move on. So the great thing is that you can close these kind of people pretty quickly if you can match their style and relate with them. Mm-hmm. But the bad news is if you're not naturally, this isn't your natural communication style, you might find these people quite brutal. You might find them quite short, and it's going to be a case of adapting. And this is a classic example of where if this isn't your natural communication style, you need to kind of match this. You need to change the way that you interact with people, and you need to basically start getting right to the point with them straight away and respect the fact that their time is money for them.
Mm. And diving deeper on that is really interesting what you just said. You know, for those listeners, you know, right now, think about the words that Cameron led with there. What do you want? How, you know, what is the price? What can you do for me? They lead with those what questions because it often leads to a very quick answer that sort of resonates with what they're thinking. So, you know, don't go explaining how. So if they say, if a D says to you, you know, what's the price? You say, well, we can price these in you know, different packages, different levels. Let me just go into the detail of what the features are or what this package represents.
Big mistake.
Big mistake. And I've done it before. Yep. You know, I've done it before early in my selling career. And, you know, if I had the knowledge of knowing how to navigate certain buying personalities, I would have been probably able to close that. But if they're leading with what questions, analyze the language patterns. If they're leading with what, they're most likely to be a D.
Mm, definitely. Basically, if they want to get straight to the point straight away, they don't want to talk about the weather, they don't want to talk about anything else, and they pretty much ask you, you know, what is it you do from the get-go, then you know that you've got a D on your hands. And Ds actually, you can build really good relationships with them.
Yeah.
And you can actually basically build rapport on the back end. So that once they've done business, they're happy to chat with you. They're happy to learn more about you because they've identified, this is someone who I can do business with. This is someone I can relate with. Oh, let's have a chat and see, you know, so they can be really nice people. And one thing to remember is a communication style doesn't dictate whether a person is a nice person or not. To be honest, you're going to get assholes from every communication style. That's just the way of the world, right? So never think just because someone has a different communication style to you that they don't like you or you know, you don't like them. Really just understand on the surface. And this stuff's great because you can actually start understanding, you know, people have different communication styles. And that's the reason, I think, for a lot of conflict that we see in the workplace and life is kind of a clash between communication styles. And these people could actually have a lot in common apart from their communication style. They could be, you know, could get on really well if they just understood each other a bit better.
Yeah, this is why trainings like this is so important.
Yeah.
If you can get a really good understanding of who you are as a person, you'll have a much more comprehensive understanding of those around you. And that's not just in business, right? You think about, take yourself out of that office environment now and think about your girlfriend, maybe family members. Think about the way they sort of communicate with you. You know, how do they act with you? What questions do they ask? Are they happy? Are they quite reserved? So just getting that sort of general understanding of psychology can make your relationships a lot more meaningful and fruitful too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe we should dive into some weaknesses as well, because Ds are actually quite controlling, aren't they?
Yes. So Ds love to have control over that, basically anything they do, but in particular the sales process. So if you go into the if you're a D and you sell to a D, oftentimes there can actually be a clash.
Yeah.
So you've got to move with caution. It's good because you know the way that they like to communicate, but you also don't want to be too direct, be too dominant, because that's going to basically put the person you're selling to in like a fight or flight mode. So mm-hmm. they're either going to fight you and argue with you, or they're just going to say, no, I'm done with this, and speak to the next person. So you've got to let them have some control.
Mm-hmm.
And a really good way to do that is to ask a lot of questions. Let them kind of control the way the conversation goes. You kind of put the framework in place, but you give them options. You let them mm-hmm. give them the illusion that they're in control of the conversation. And a really, really good kind of final tip on closing with these kind of communication styles is to actually offer options at the end. So still create that illusion that they're in control by saying, hey, would you like to focus on this package or this package? Which mm-hmm. package resonated with you best, and which one do you think would be the best fit for you? And then give a couple of options, maybe, you know, the option of two positives, two different campaigns that you offer, two different products that you offer, two different services that you can offer to them. So that's a really, really good way to deal with dominant personality types. Any other notes on that before we move on?
I don't think so. I think the choice of two positives is always a good road to be going down. And at the end of the day, you've served that customer on a meaningful level. You've made the sale, which is really, really important. And, you know, if you deliver for those Ds, they will not, be scared to pull out their wallet in the future, I guess, or their purse to spend more. So
they're focused on results at the end of the day. So if you can deliver results, then they're going to be happy to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to I's, which is influential people. So me and Scott both have this in our personalities as well. So we tend to resonate quite well with influential kind of people. But basically, these kind of people are pretty extroverted.
Mm-hmm.
They're very enthusiastic. They are quite emotional people, so they make decisions based on their emotions. And really the best way to deal with these kind of people is you want to build almost a friendship with these kind of people.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a friendship, but you want to build that relationship. You want to build some rapport. You want to allow them to chat a little bit. You want to allow them to talk about their business, the weather, whatever it might be. You're going to have to accept that these people like to talk, and they like to talk about themselves potentially as well. And basically, these are the kind of people that you need to kind of match that with. And if you're, for example, a dominant person, then your style, you're going to need to let that kind of rein back a little bit and relax a bit more and have a, you know, real conversation with these kind of people.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. And from a questioning perspective, eyes are probably the best people to talk to, because they will spur out so much information.
Yeah, 100%.
And they will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. But also, that's really, really good when you start to ask for referrals, right? So you go through that process, you know, who do you know that could benefit from an introductory conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And they might spin off 4, 5, 6 different names.
Yeah.
So that's super cool. But yeah, they're people that really are motivated by social recognition. So mm-hmm. you'll find those eyes in large groups of people. They've often got really good social media followings. They're happy, bubbly, joyful people. You know the kind of type, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's really, really good to have those kind of people in your cycle, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big thing to remember about these kind of, you know, influential personality types is that they really like to dream. They like to think about the big picture. They like to think about what could be possible from buying your product and kind of paint a picture of the future, a better future with this product, and how it will affect their their status, their social positioning, their quality of life. So a really good way to deal with these kind of people when you're selling to them is to actually help them paint that picture and kind of, you know, ask questions like, hypothetically, if we could deliver X for you, what would your life be like? What would your business be like? How much easier would it be? How much more successful would you be? And asking questions that kind of pace them into the future a little bit and make them dream about the possibility of doing business with you is gonna, you know, really get their emotions flowing. And these are probably the most emotional decision makers that are out there. So if they trust you and if they really truly believe in what you're offering them, and you've got to be able to paint that picture for them to achieve that, then they're going to want to do business with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think one of the good points to mention about that is the sort of willingness to just open up their arms to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, in sales, what you really want to be aiming to do is make real, deep, authentic connections. And so many times in my life, but I've made those connections with eyes, and they've turned out to be the best clients we've ever had.
Yeah.
Just because they're so enthusiastic to help you because you've helped them so much. It's a very people-orientated approach. Yeah. So, yeah.
And because of that, they want to know about you as well. They want to know not just about your business. They want to know about who you are as a person. They want to know about the clients you have. They want to know the people kind of information. So they want to know all of those things that are related to socialness and building it out from there. Now, one weakness with this kind of communication type when you're selling to them is that they're the kind of people who are probably the most flaky, because they're people pleasers, right? They want to keep people happy. These are often the kind of people who, you know, you have a great conversation with them. They'll say, I'd love to work with you. Let's have a call next week and discuss how we can, you know, start working together. And then you'll never hear from them again.
Yeah.
Because they're too scared to say no, because they hate rejection themselves, because they're social creatures. They don't want to be rejected. They fear that. So they don't want to reject other people either, because they care about your feelings, I guess. So they'd rather just kind of lead you on maybe and you know, make some kind of vague commitment, but never actually commit. So one way to kind of deal with that is to really try and get that commitment from these people and lock in a next step, and don't settle for anything less than locking in that next step. So let's say you have a 2-call sales cycle. First call goes really, really well. You have, you know, you get some kind of verbal agreement to move forward. Lock in that next step the next day, or 2 days later, or 3 days later, to discuss how they're going to get started with your service, or how they're going to, you know, buy your product, or whatever it may be. Make sure that you get that commitment to lock in the next step, get that down, and then keep that momentum going, because, you know, they're emotional people. You want to continue that momentum that you have in the relationship and really go for the close as mm-hmm. soon as possible.
Maybe one last pointer as a salesperson on that is, you know, these people are very people orientated, so they will love meetings. but as a salesperson, your time is the most valuable thing, right? You think about your hourly and you think about what that could be worth. With these entertainers, or eyes, as we call them, most people, they just want to chat. So that's fine. You can build the rapport on the front end with those eyes, but just please do make sure that, you know, your time is, you're being respectful with your time, mm-hmm. and they'll actually, they'll appreciate that as well. So,
yeah.
Don't, you know, maybe one quick example here. I know I had, an eye a couple months back, and I think we had about 4 or 5 meetings before I actually realized she's actually costing me money, not making money. So I just cut that dead.
Yeah, 100%.
But just be really thoughtful about who you're talking with.
Exactly, yeah. Because these people love chatting so much, and they really, you know, you're building a relationship with them because they're so easy to build relationships with. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll buy from you. And it's a really good example of that is in the Challenger sale. They talk about this, how relationship builders are generally not the most effective salespeople. Mm. Of course, it's important to build relationships, but that relationship should be built on service and the solution that you can provide based on their challenges.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be built on just becoming friends. You know, if you want to be friends, great. Go to the pub, get a drink, but don't talk business. So these people are, you know, they're good to be friends with. They can be challenging to sell to, but they can also be great customers.
Of course.
So yeah, let's move on. So the next one is, I really like to call this calculator. Yeah. I think officially it's kind of conscientiousness or something, but to me these people are calculators because they're numbers people. They have no interest really in imagining the big picture. They're more focused on the logic, the facts, the rational reasons as to why they should move forward with your product or your service. And they really do, you know, they base that buying decision on logic, on the practicalities and the details of why your product or service is the best fit for them. So you can really never show this kind of person too many details. You want to be getting out the numbers, the statistics, the, you know, maybe the ROI figures or the ROI calculator. Whatever you can do, whatever you can show this person in terms of data is going to really, really help that.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, yesterday I was talking to a really nice gentleman over in Ohio, and he was a very, very high C. So when we were going through the proposal, you know, there was about 30 different questions that he was asking, but, you know, that's, I, as a navigator, I understood that was his buying style. So I just adapted my selling style to, you know, the procedure, the analytics, the detail, the numbers. So, you know, building rapport through logic, is really, really important. Really interesting to note that we know that most sales are done on emotion, but with those sort of high C's, you know, I would argue that, you know, a high proportion of that is logic. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think a great quote that I've heard and I think is true is that you sell people on emotion, but they back it up with logic. I think in this case, for every other buying style, that's probably true. You sell them on emotion and then they'll back up their decision with the facts later on. But with this buying style, when you're dealing with a calculator type person, you're going to sell them on logic and they're going to rationalize it more with logic. So it's all about logic with these guys. And really one thing to remember is that with your tone of voice, I know that tonality is a big thing in sales. You want to be coming across as enthusiastic. You want to be coming across as the kind of bubbly person who can deliver a great service, who can build a relationship with you. But generally in these cases with calculator type people, they're going to kind of mistrust you a little bit when you lead with that, because you're going with too many emotions. It's much better to kind of have an even tone of voice with these kind of people. Talk to them in their own language, talk to them on a level where they understand. And I think in NLP and things like that, where you mirror and match other people's styles, they talk about this. But when you're dealing with a high C, remember, speak evenly. Speak on their level, be calm, be collected, and just talk about the logic, talk about the numbers, and talk about the real good decision factors why this person should buy from you.
And this is why they work so well in our model, right? Because a lot of those sort of high C's that we work with are very, very good at procedure. You know, when they sign clients, they have, you know, an exact process, but part of their weakness is the business development aspect. They're not naturally extroverted to go out and find those people. So this is where, you know, lead generation companies, marketing, business development firms can really add a lot of value to these people.
They can really help these people, especially if you're a data-driven company like we are. So if you analyze what you do, if you test the different approaches that you're using and you provide them with the numbers, they're going to love that. Now, where this person is going to struggle is in the actual sales call, the sales process. So these people need to be coached to adapt their style. To be honest, the only people these kind of personality types are going to be able to relate with or sell to are going to be other people who are very, very numbers driven. And that's, you know, maybe 25% of the population at best. So these people really need to be conscious of the fact that, you know, they have a lot of room for improvement. And I know this because I have an element of this in my own personality profile. So I've been through a DISC test and I'm highest on the I, I'm second highest on the D, and I'm third on the C. And then I'm very, very low on the S. But I have an element of this. It's not huge, but I have enough to know that, you know, I do need to adapt sometimes. If I'm dealing with a particularly high I, for example, then I need to kind of match a little bit more to their kind of personality type. So it's a really, really big learning curve for a lot of these people who are potentially, you know, that's their dominant personality type, is to, you know, use what you have, use the analytical skills to go and do some research, use those research skills that you have and learn how to adapt your style, be a chameleon to different approaches. And I think oftentimes, actually in sales, they say that a lot of the best performing salespeople are actually high C's.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
These are the people who research. They love finding out new information. They love testing different approaches. And if they actually have that emotional intelligence to be able to adapt and change their style based on who they're communicating with, then they're going to have actually a ton of success.
Absolutely. I think that is really, really important. And even, you know, going a little bit further into that, you know, the the real challenge of people who are very highly detailed driven is they can suffer from paralysis by analysis.
100%.
So if you're searching for a product or a service and you're speaking with 5, 6, 7 different people, you've got, you know, 7 different proposals, for instance, they will analyze that proposal like it's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes it hard for you, or challenging, I should say, not hard, as a salesperson to really guide them through that process, because, you know, they'll be saying, well, competitor A does this different to this. You know, why? So they lead with the why questions.
Yeah.
Why should we choose you? Why should we do this? But again, you know, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, we would have lost the sale, but now we would have gained it. So, yeah. Super
That's a really, really good point. These people analyze everything. So be aware of that and be able to provide enough logic and facts and statistics to back up what you're, you know, what you're saying about your service.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we have the S's, which is steadiness. And I just Googled it, actually, and they are actually... so it can either be steady or stable. These kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, these are kind of the mothering kind of personality type. So they make slow decisions, they make methodical decisions. These people are great, actually. They're really great people to be friends with or work with, because they care more about other people than they care about themselves.
Yeah.
They care more about their team. These are generally very, very family orientated people, and I think that this is a great personality type to have people on your team. But when you're selling to them, it can be frustrating because of the slow nature of their decision making style.
Yeah.
So, you know, these people are, you know, definitely team players, but definitely very, very cautious people, and they don't really like change. They like, as it says in the name, stability, steadiness. And really the best way to deal with these kind of people is to nurture them, is to understand, you know, this is going to be a little bit of a longer sales cycle. This person maybe fears change a little bit. They're looking out for their team, their group. They want to make sure that the decision they make has the best interest at heart for everyone. And they really like to trust before buying. Do you have much experience dealing with this personality?
Yeah, I mean, well, my natural personality is IDSC. So I'm actually pretty high S, actually. So
yeah.
I think that gives me an edge in sales when, you know, although relationship building isn't the focus of my style now, it's definitely something I can fall back on.
And it's still really important, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The relationship is still crucial. I think one thing when I read The Challenger Sale, and I keep coming back to this book because it's had a huge impact on my success, but they say whilst relationship builders per se are not, you know, they're not the most successful, relationships are still very, very important. It's just how you build that relationship should be built on, you know, the challenges that they have, and then being someone who can help that. So I think that can actually play quite well into dealing with high S's.
I think the one thing we should probably dive into is how slow those decision makers are.
Yeah.
How many people have we had in the last couple months that, even from months and months, that prolong that cycle, and, you know, oh, let's have another call. I need to think about this. I need to, you know, they are very slow decision makers, but they are the most loyal. And that's really, really important, because if they buy from you once and you deliver, they'll buy forever. And that's a salesman's dream.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. It's worth putting in the time with these people. They will make a slower decision, but once you sign them on, and once they become a customer of yours, they will stay loyal, because that's just the kind of person they are. They care about those long-term relationships. They care about loyalty. And in fact, it's kind of a paradox, because you get high D's, for example. I can count numerous times the kind of one call closes I've had with high D's, with those, you know, fast decision makers. But they're also the ones who are most hungry for results. And if you don't deliver that within literally days of, you know, working with them, they're going to start questioning you, and they're going to be the fastest ones to actually leave. The opposite is true with S's. They're going to be very, very slow decision makers, methodical decision makers. They're going to make sure that everyone they're associated with in the decision is getting a good deal out of this. But once they do make that decision, once they have put the time in to you know, agree to work with you, then they're going to be with you for years.
Yeah, and I guess on a last part as well, if you can really picture yourself as a salesperson, you know, success comes from serving, not selling. And I think that works really well with S's. And because they fear change so much, you know, once you do get them locked in, like Cameron said, you know, invest the time, invest the effort. Mm-hmm. But they're probably going to be some of your best loyal and amazing customers.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of the summary of, I guess, the four different buying styles. Now, something that's really, really important is, you know, we've talked about different people's different buying styles, but kind of realize who you are as well and what your buying style is. Probably listening to this, you identified, you know, what kind of personality, what kind of communication type do I have? How can I use that to my strengths? How can I use that to grow and improve and adapt to my communication style to whoever I'm communicating with? And, you know, this stuff works really, really well in sales. It can be a massive game changer in terms of, you know, if you've got everything else locked down, but, you know, it can be that kind of final piece of the puzzle that really steps you up to the next level in your business by knowing who you're dealing with, and also with clients, right? With clients that you've already built relationships with, you can start to read them a bit better. You can start to communicate with them in a way that's going to really relate to them and resonate with them. But one thing that I think is important is to definitely assess yourself and remember, you know, what is it, how is it that I like to communicate, and how can I read who I'm dealing with and then adapt that style to whoever I'm communicating with.
Yeah, I think it's literally one of the most important things I've ever learned in my career and in my life, how to adapt to other people. It doesn't matter if I'm talking to a CEO, VP of operations, a COO, CFO. You know, I just know how those people work now. Mm-hmm. But again, about understanding yourself first before you understand other people. And if you get a really good understanding of how to sell the way people like to buy, you're going to be very, very successful.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess this stuff, you know, it's great in sales, but it's also great in day-to-day life and building relationships. You know, that business is not just about selling. You know, it's a massive part of it, but also the way that you build relationships with your team, the way you manage people. If you're a leader, you have people in your team who all have different communication styles. If you can actually read that, if you can communicate with people in a way that's going to, you know, motivate them, inspire them in the right way, then you're just going to be a level ahead of the competition.
Well, think about this example just outside the box, right? So you've been dating a girl for like months, you know, it's time to meet the parents, that very scary time. You know, just asking those kind of questions before you meet that person. So, you know, what's she like? What does she do? How does she, is she, you know, reserved? Is she open? And then you actually come to meet that person. And because you know how to adapt your style to theirs, the outcome of whatever you're trying to achieve there is going to be very, very successful. So, you know, psychology is a huge part of business and something that I'm really taking a big effort to dive into over the next couple months, because, you know, NLP and stuff like that is just super, super interesting. Just on a personal level as well. Mm-hmm. The stuff you can do with it is just unfucking believable. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think you had a nice quote to end today's value bomb with Scott. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Let me just grab it up for you. So it's actually from... let me just find it.
And the book, there's a really good book on this stuff called Navigate 2.0. So that's a great way to learn about this. Also, researching DISC is a really good way to learn about communication styles and really any kind of personality profiling test. You can help to understand a little bit of people's preferred way of communication and also your own. So you can take these tests. Me and Scott have taken this test ourselves, and we figured out who we are as people and how we can adapt that to our sales and our business communication.
Of course. And guys, if you want to be able to understand who you are as people, then just reach out to us. You know, we can set you up with some individuals that do some really, really good tests. So I think there's the Myers-Briggs one. We've got the DISC. We've got Berkman. So yeah, dive into that, guys. But just to end on this quote, I think this is really, really good. And I think this is one of my favorites as well. So it's from Theodore Roosevelt. And he said, "The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." I think that's very, very powerful.
Boom. Yeah, very, very powerful.
Let me know your thoughts on that, guys. We want to know that.
Let us know your thoughts on that. As always, send in your questions. If you have any questions for us, we'd love to answer them. We'll leave all of our contact details in the show notes. And we will see you next time.
Goodbye, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Sales Squared podcast. As always, we want to hear from you. Reach out. You can find me on LinkedIn under Cameron Scott or on Instagram under @TheCameronScott_.
And you can find me, Scott Hennessy, on LinkedIn. So that's HENNESSY. And Instagram, Henster. So that's HENNSTA_gram.
Now, what are these people going to want to do, Scott? I think they need to go and visit our website, right?
1,000,000%.
So go to our website, squaredsales.com, and you can find, firstly, a free guide on how to literally skyrocket your sales on LinkedIn. So this is the stuff that we use with our own business, with clients to literally create six figures in revenue or more. And also, you can just get on our website, you can find our blog, you can read some really, really valuable articles that are going to help you in your business today. So reach out to us, come visit us, and we look forward to hearing from you.